Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I want to know what the most extravagant date that you've gone on is, Thomas.
Extravagant's an interesting word.
Yes.
And one that I wouldn't apply to myself. See, I get extravagant when I splurge to get the gold top milk. Like, that's my
Oh, so honey, buckle up. We got the good milk tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Daddy's bringing home the gold top. Extravagant. In the 21st century, one answer might be taking a date to a drive-in theater movie, because, like, you're spending fuel to get there, and they don't miss you at the candy bar at a drive-through theater. They don't miss you. So you end up spending an extravagant amount on pretty regular food.
I bloody love drive-ins, can I just say?
But I suppose one date got a spa glass of champagne kind of date out of me.
Oh, that's nice.
She didn't know that I got that day for free, so. Oh. So yeah. That's
no less special. You decided to spend your free spa experience on that person.
What do you give a shit?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As long as we're doing it.
So that's what leaps to mind in terms of extravagance. How about yourself, Liz?
Look, my most extravagant date was kind of like half extravagant, half street, and I'm into it.
Half extravagant, half street.
Yeah, someone sent a limo for me.
Very nice.
To go to a food truck. And I was that is the best combo date for me ever.
You eating the food truck
because
in
then,
the limo?
Then we got the food from the food truck and then we sat in the limo and ate it, and it was amazing. But like when I've gone extravagant, so I used to date a guy who was a bit of a cheapskate. And when I went extravagant, he would get mad at me for spending money.
Mm.
And so at the time I was working at a magazine, and we did get quite a few freebies in. But when I really fancied going somewhere really nice, I would just go and buy a gift card for it and tell him that I got it for free at work so that we could go out to the date.
Yes, look.
I got mad at myself for doing that after we'd broken up, because I was like, fuck it. If you want to go somewhere nice, you should go somewhere nice.
That's right. Yeah,
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm Liz Best.
Hello, everybody. Tom Harris. Thank you for tuning in again.
And look, the reason that I've been asking about extravagant dates is because the guest that we have today and I were chatting before she came on. I know, we broke the rules. So first of all, let me introduce returning guest and friend of the podcast, Tilly.
Yes.
Hello.
Thank you for coming back in. Tilly and I were talking about The Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette, and so the television show.
Are you familiar at all, Thomas?
I know it exists as a show and I know the concept. I would have glimpsed scenes of it.
Look, the reason why I want to talk about The Bachelorette before we get into Tilly's story is because this year in Australia, and it's a first for the entire world in the 20 plus years that Bachelorette's been going on, we have an Indigenous bisexual Bachelorette. It's a world first, and she's dating men and women, and I for one am here for it. What about you, Tilly?
I am too. The Bachelor as a format isn't usually my taste in reality TV.
Yes. There's
plenty of other ones. I find it very mononormative, heteronormative. It's a zero-sum game for the people in it.
Is The Bachelorette one of those, or The Bachelor, one of those shows that gets memed a bit where it'll be like, wow, I wonder who the bloke is going to be, and it's the same guy.
It's the same looking guy.
Yes. So it's that kind of, yep, gotcha.
Yep, great. Yep. It's very...
It's same, same. They're all white bread. And they do tend to be white with one or two token people of colour as well.
Gotcha.
Yes. However, this particular season of it was talked about by a couple of people who I value their opinions on this type of thing. So I thought I would give it a go. And I loved it.
Yes.
I loved they had a really genuine welcome to country to begin with.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, honour her Indigenous heritage. And then, you know, men and women started to come up the red carpet to meet her. And it warmed my heart.
Me too. Like, okay, so obviously anybody who has listened to Love Bachelor on this particular podcast network knows that I have been a frequent recurring guest on that podcast because I do watch way too much trashy reality Bachelor television. But the thing that really upset me about this, just quickly, is that the ratings came out, and the ratings for this season are the lowest that any other Bachelor series have ever been.
That was going to be my question.
And I think it's just because the series has been on a decline because it's been getting shitter and shitter. But what I wanted to talk about it here is because I want people to watch this season because I think it's important that this kind of visibility is happening on mainstream television. And if the bigwigs are like, oh, okay, I guess people don't like bisexual people, like it has the capacity to make a lot of change. So even if you don't love The Bachelor, or even if you don't live in Australia, find a VPN and doubt you, because it's on our an app called 10play, which is free.
Yes.
So if you can get a VPN to make it look like you're in Australia to increase those viewership numbers, it would just warm the cockles of my heart because it's fucking important. Plus, my God, like I consider myself a, you know, like 90% straight person. Those women are gorgeous.
Yes, it's unfair.
I was like, dude. I was like, yeah, he's okay, he's okay. Oh my God, she's beautiful.
Well, interestingly, even the male suitors were quite intimidated by the women.
Yeah.
And how they were approaching the Bachelorette.
It was quite funny. First episode. It's first episode. I'm not spoiling too much. I think at the time of recording, we're two eps in.
Right, okay.
So you have a cocktail party. The format is there's a cocktail party and people get to go up and talk, the Bachelorette spends time talking to each one of them. And none of the men were just like freaking out, and all the women were just getting their, you know, getting their lady balls up and just like
getting in there, grabbing
her. Can I steal you? Like absolutely having the confidence to go up and get her.
Wow, interesting. So not only is this season of The Bachelorette positive in terms of recognition and there's a wonderful word that's just flowing out of my brain. Representation. Yes. Thank you very much, producer Zane. But also an interesting sort of like you the women and the men in together, and you're just watching the women, by the sound of it, walk all over these scared.
And it's funny because one of the girls did a really shitty thing in the first episode, and the guy didn't really say much about it. And then one of the guys did a shitty thing in the next episode, and the girl was like, "How dare you? You're a dick!" Like, just the social dynamics of it, you know, is hilarious. But yes, please, if you can, get those viewership numbers up because we've got an Indigenous Australian bisexual Bachelorette, and it shouldn't be, you know, groundbreaking, but it is.
It's kind of cool and important.
And even she comments in the first half an hour or so about the representation, and that her as a 10-year-old child never saw anybody like herself on television. And I'm hearing this quite a lot across reality programs and the people who are on them, and the importance of minorities being represented and feeling like they're representing their community and showing an example of who you can be.
It's important to see yourself. That's why straight white guys look at that, have never had to question this stuff because they've always seen them. Like they grow up seeing every action hero is a white man. So now they're like, oh, what you want representation too? I don't understand. You've always had it. So it isn't. Yeah, it is important. And if you hate, some people hate reality, so-called reality TV. Some people can't stand it. Put that aside for now. and
we're not sponsored, by the way. Channel 10 has not paid me any money.
I would be dressed much nicer currently. And
by the way, I don't think I've mentioned her name. The Bachelorette's name is Brooke Blurton.
Brooke Blurton.
And she's bloody gorgeous.
Bloody gorgeous. Get around her. Excellent.
All right. So are we just? I just wanted to do that up the top about talking about how important that is. Please get the viewership numbers up. You can do it.
A public service announcement.
Even if you play it in the background with the volume down, if you absolutely hate the show, please. I just want the people who decide TV things in Australia to see that people want this stuff, whether you do or not. Just make it happen for me and for Tilly and for Tom. All right. So now that that's out of the way, Tilly, you've come back to tell us, are we going with a story, a couple of stories?
I thought it might be interesting. I think on the last one I mentioned, I was non-monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
And my earlier reaction to The Bachelor not being so good because it is so mononormative and almost toxic monogamous culture in the way that it presents a lot of it. So I thought I'd sort of talk about how I came to non-monogamy, what it means to me, how that sort of works. Please ask questions. I've prepared a little bit of stuff, but I'm sure there's other stuff you might want to know about.
Great. So readers new to the show, Tilly has been a guest already and has touched on this subject once. So go back and listen to that episode if you need
me. It's called Tilly and All the First Dates.
That's right.
Tilly views dating as a bit of a hobby as well. So she's been on many dates and had some really great story for us that you can listen to, and we'll have that episode in the show notes.
And on her first appearance, Tilly learnt our three rules. So we can only briefly touch on them today. No threats on air, Tilly, if you can please help that. Aliases, if you can help them with people, stories, places, you know, names, very important. We don't want the rest of you, no, don't figure out who Tilly's talking about and dox their information online.
That's our don't be a dick rule.
Yeah, don't ruin it for the rest of us, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's rules over the way. The rest of you know where to go to sort of hear Tilly's first endeavour on Ghosts of Boven's past. Mm-hmm. Tilly, please take us away.
Okay. Yeah, so start.
Let's start at the beginning. At what point did you kind of, I guess, twig that, you know, the monogamous route was perhaps something you wanted to deviate away from?
So I probably first heard about non-monogamy in my late teens, and something about it made sense to me, you know, in a way that sort of monogamous relationships didn't, but there was so much sort of social conditioning around monogamous culture and finding the one. And
tell me about it.
Yeah, you know.
My God, I feel like that stereotype has ruined my life alone.
The amount of undoing you have to do from all of this information that comes in is incredible. So I sort of heard about it, and you just felt I was too insecure. I didn't feel confident in any way in dating, and that I just wasn't going to be able to do that. So I sort of, you know, tried to date monogamously, had a series of very poor monogamous relationships in my 20s, a lot of gaslighting, a lot of lack of communication, an infatuation that wasn't reciprocated, but I was still strung along. One particular one in my late 20s that I had a gut feeling that it wasn't right, and my solution to that was to just not ask. If I didn't ask, he couldn't tell me that something was
wrong.
That's
right.
Right.
Information,
the head in the sand method, folks. Yes.
So yep. that was my 20s, pretty much.
Yeah.
Between all of those relationships, I took a long break from dating to sort of recover from those, rebuild myself, work out what I didn't want, what I did want in relationships, I'm not quite sure where to go after that. So after those ones, I then got to the point where I decided that it was better to ask, even if I got an answer that I didn't want. It was better to know than to not know. Mm.
That is one of the greatest lessons, honestly. I know we're going to lessons early, that I've learnt, is that asking if something's wrong is only ever a win-win situation, because whilst it's scary and intimidating to have to ask that honest question, getting the answer will make you realize that that person isn't your person faster, so you can move on to finding something that makes you happier and fulfills you.
Exactly.
It's like ripping off the band-aid. It's the short-term pain for long-term gain.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And by staying in unhealthy relationships, you're building more poor views of yourself,
yes,
lowering your self-esteem and taking on more of, you know, what's wrong with me.
Yeah, and it's much harder to come back from that than it is to ask the scary questions.
Yeah, exactly. So once I'd sort of been through those, I, in my sort of early-ish 30s, I just started casually dating and probably made a few poor decisions there as well, but also learned to recognise what I didn't want in a relationship, to recognise the gut feelings a bit quicker, not sort of try to aim for something that society thought was acceptable rather than what I actually wanted out of a relationship. Then sort of as I was dating and meeting new people, and I think I may have even met a couple of non-monogamous people and sort of heard about their experiences and started reading a little bit more about it, and more of it just clicked with how I viewed the world.
Yeah.
That I've never been somebody to follow the path that everybody else does.
Can you try and describe that feeling when something in your life or a series of things in your life it clicks into place?
So,
and you can look around and go, oh, this,
yes,
this is nice, this is me, you know, I don't know.
One thing I was just about to mention that really gels with that is I was diagnosed with ADHD a couple of years ago.
Right.
And the not following the normal path is a really neurodivergent sort of aspect, I guess. And so that was all sort of clicking as well. And,
right,
you know, looking back on things, oh, that's why I was like that. Oh, that's why I felt different there. Mm. And, while I was also sort of reading about non-monogamy and things were sort of clicking in that, I also sort of embraced my queer identity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was about 14, I had identified as a straight woman who sometimes had crushes on women.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into my 30s and was like, maybe I could just be bi or pan or, you know, whatever term you want to use for that. And that, yes, I actually am attracted to different genders.
Yeah.
And for me, that is very much the full spectrum of genders. Whatever somebody wishes to identify with is fine, basically.
Yeah.
So then I discovered something called the relationship escalator, which is that example of what a relationship, how a relationship progresses.
Okay.
You go on a few dates, you become exclusive, mm-hmm, you call each other your partner, you rent a place together, you buy a place together, you have a child. That never appealed to me. All of my friends in my late 20s started getting married and having kids, and I didn't look at that as that's what I want. Mm. I felt like something was missing, but it wasn't that, I guess.
Yeah. See, I wanted that and I didn't know why.
Right.
Because the universe told me that is what one had to do. And I constantly felt like I was running up an escalator going backwards, like I was running up the wrong one, being like, why can't I get to the top of this fucking thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the society or in your life, you've only seen the one path and you go, like, I don't like that one path. Is there another part? You know, that's so confusing.
Yeah. That even comes back to representation that we were talking about earlier, seeing people who don't fit into the normal model of relationships. Or another really lovely one, a reality show, was Love on the Spectrum, of dating with autism. And, you know, their steps on a relationship escalator are very different to somebody who's neurotypical as well. So that's another example of why representation is so important, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm for so long, I don't even recall seeing any kind of representation of women who choose to be single, which is my experience. being displayed as anything other than being spinsters or left on the shelf.
Exactly.
Like, that's right, yeah.
So I'm really loving the fact that, like, I was looking at some memes of Whoopi Goldberg the other day, and she's like, yeah, I'm single because I don't want anyone else in my house. Yeah. I don't want to have to share my money. And I was like, you are a queen.
Yes.
But yeah, it's representation so matters, whether that be, pansexuality or bisexuality or non-monogamy, or like seeing these things in the media is so important.
Mm. And seeing healthy examples of,
yes,
it. There's a lot of examples of poly where it's, a throuple of two women and a man, and there's lots of drama and it's closed. Mm. And it's
jealous.
Which isn't most people's experience.
I still don't think I've seen any TV show that has represented that. It's either been drama or freak show. Like, there's no, like, even the reality shows deliberately insert the drama into stuff like that. Yeah. I'd love to see a TV show where people are just, poly or non-monogamous, and it's not part of the storyline. It just is.
It's just incidental.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I've been noticing people who are non-binary are just referred to as they, and it's not actually made a big deal about. This is how it is.
There's a few shows that, there's been people even who have been trans people, and they're just like she, he, and no one's like, their transness is not a thing.
Yes.
Mm. So, fucking great.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
In the same way, we could have representations where non-monogamy is just the way these people operate.
Yeah.
It's not the cause or the source of the drama.
Yeah.
In a storyline or a narrative. Yes. Okay, so once I'd sort of decided that I was definitely more interested in dating non-monogamously, I sought out people to go on dates with who were non-monogamous, learned a bit more about it, listened to people talking about it, went on a few dates with people who just didn't gel, just for the same reason it wouldn't otherwise. One of my early experiences of it, unfortunately, was quite toxic. I ended up in what I would call a toxic polycule. I went on a date with a man. There was a fair bit of chemistry. He had a partner, and he talked about other people he was dating. Mm. Within an hour of me leaving that first date, he'd asked me if his partner could contact me.
Right.
Which at the time I thought, okay, that's, she just wants to demystify, and, that's okay.
Still, a little bit confronting.
It's a bit full on. Yeah.
A little bit forward.
Wait till the second date. Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
At least.
So then I had another date with him that week where we hooked up, and within an hour I had a message from her asking about it. Not in an accusatory way, more in an excited sort of way of, oh, you've just slept with my partner. Let's talk about this as sort of girlfriends. And
okay.
And again, a little bit weird, not quite
like
sort of,
if you were friends or if you knew her or like.
Or that was part of what I'd talked about with
what you'd signed
him
up
as well.
For. Yeah.
Okay. But again, I was a bit new to it. I wasn't really seeing the red flags for what they were at the time.
Mm.
There is a term in poly called unicorn hunting, where it's a man and a bisexual woman in a relationship looking for a third bisexual woman,
mm-hmm.
and she has to be attracted to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Unicorn, so i.e. rare.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Rare.
There is a lot of inherent issues with that. There's hierarchy with the existing partnership that will often sort of bring it undone. I hadn't realised at the time that I was basically being unicorn hunted.
Mm.
And so she was kind of trying to worm her way into it.
I feel like that should have been disclosed.
Really? there was a lot of hierarchy in that relationship. She had been in a marriage where she'd been cheated on, so she had a lot of insecurities and hang-ups.
Yeah,
and
right, sure.
However, he didn't recognise how toxic that was to his other relationships and didn't counter it anyway. There was one instance where we were hanging out. He'd given me a massage, but he'd forgotten to tell her that I was over, and he didn't reply for 15 minutes and she started having a meltdown.
Yeah.
He leaves me lying on the bed naked, goes to deal with it.
Oh.
I'm just like,
terrific.
Oh, you're not nearly as important.
You're not
as
the
this
priority.
Oh. Bang. Other dates intruded on our date. It was really toxic. Eventually, I said something to him about it, and he immediately shared that message with her without my consent.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So then she came at me about it.
And
so that was fun.
How did you extricate yourself from that relationship?
I said my piece and blocked everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Oh,
yes.
I am a big fan of blocking and
yes.
moving on.
Yeah.
That's healthy as fuck. I love it.
And it's so clean.
Yes.
It's so clean.
You recognized yeah. at a point that it wasn't working and that people were treating you poorly.
Snip.
You said your bit and walked.
Yes.
I love it.
Yep. There's a thing with arguments that happen where the person who's hurt wants to be acknowledged that the hurt has been caused, and the person who's done the hurt wants the excuse to kind of be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that I was never going to get the acknowledgement of being hurt in that, and there was no point in continuing to try to ask for that because I just wasn't going to get
that.
It.
Yeah, good
so
on you.
So many times you like, but here you've done a thing and you just spend so much of your energy trying to get a narcissist to admit
exactly.
that they're being a narcissist, and you're just never going to get it.
No, move on.
Gold. So then from that, what did you learn and take into future relationships?
Certainly to be a bit more aware of red flags.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you were new in this. You were kind of new into this whole figuring it all out.
And
so the rules and the rules of the playground, you're like, oh, maybe the wife can just message, you know, so maybe you were just floundering a bit and didn't have the info.
Yeah. And exciting things were new for an ADHD brain.
Right. Yeah.
The novelty. New, and this is fun and we're doing things that are different and So, yeah, a little bit more about recognising red flags, watching the way somebody talks about their partner
mm-hmm.
and the enmeshment of that is sort of quite important. So you can sort of ask key questions, I guess, about how they approach non-monogamy. That tells a lot about how it might play out going forward, I guess. So once I got out of that, I then, I guess, tried to date more single people who were also non-monogamous.
Mm.
Unfortunately, what I found with that, it was often usually men who had been in long-term monogamous relationships that had ended, and there'd obviously been a lot of resentment there, and they had the feeling that I don't want to go back to that type
yes.
of relationship.
Sure. Mm.
What ends up often happening there is they've still got a monogamous mindset. They get that new relationship energy with somebody and all of the other relationships kind of fall by the wayside because they get so wrapped up in that person and sort of want to step back onto the relationship escalator. Whereas that is not the way I approach relationships at all. Even a long-term relationship is as important to me as a new interest. Yes, and I'm very careful to sort of maintain time and energy across all of those in a way that I can.
So we had a question come in from producer Zane that as a pen woman unicorn, is that the only time that you have been hunted as a unicorn?
I have definitely been, it's been suggested or messaged on an app or something, but I tend not to then meet with those people.
Yeah.
I think.
That's not a dynamic you want to put yourself back in.
Not really.
Yeah.
No. Look, if something organically happened that I met a couple at the same time rather than meeting one of them first probably and there was an attraction or something, it's not entirely outside the realms of possibility, but it's certainly not something I'm seeking.
Mm.
And it's definitely – I've got a keener eye for those situations, I think, now than I did.
And so I guess as you're moving through, what are some of the more healthy – positive relationships that you've been in?
So the two that I'm in at the moment are pretty healthy. Both the two people I'm currently dating are both married men.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I would call a satellite, so we've sort of got an orbit in each other, in mm-hmm. each other's worlds. The other one is a comet because he lives in North Queensland and only comes into my orbit mm-hmm. occasionally.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Sort of passes by. So I guess discussing things like how, as a couple, they've dealt with issues that have come up in poly is a green flag. What else?
I was quietly wondering, where do people seeking polyamorous relationships, where do they shop for these people? Are you also on your Tinders, your Bumbles? Is there a specific site? You know, is it just information? It's just dating information.
Word of mouth in the community.
Yeah, how does that?
Yeah, there's a couple of meetups that happen. Right.
Do you ever give references and be like, I've dated this person? Yeah, you should also.
I certainly would.
Dating
so
resume.
If anyone's that dated Tilly and they want a reference and attended well, she will give references.
Yes. I've got it on my Tinder bio. I think OkCupid, you can select seeking non-monogamous.
Right, okay, good.
There's an app called Field, F-E-E-L-D, that you can actually link to your partner's profile as well.
Oh,
that's sort of more kink, non-monogamy.
Yeah.
That sort of side.
But I think that's good that kind of stuff is out there as well, so that it's not just like you need, like, so I was talking to someone about this recently who's looking at opening their marriage, and just on a sexual level, and we were discussing whether they actually had chemistry with the third that their partner wanted to bring in, and they were like, well, I don't really know. Mm. We're figuring that out. And like having some kind of app that links so you can kind of start chatting to both people at the same time and not have that power balance.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's more work to be done in those areas.
Certainly groovy. I only ask because Tilly, like you, once upon a time, there might be a reader listening to this now going, information, great.
It's
give me
where can I go?
So meetups are a really good one. It's quite a casual group of people. I'm not very sociable, so I don't tend to go out a lot.
Except on first dates.
Yes.
No, I haven't been on many of those recently.
Thanks, COVID.
And moving house and other life things that happen. I guess I'll share one of the things with past guests of the podcast, Scott and Amy. So I had been on a couple of dates with Scott, and he asked if I would be happy to meet Amy. And so we had a lovely brunch, and it did a couple of things. It demystified her. Mm-hmm. So when he would talk about her, I didn't sort of have this image of, Amy is incredible as well.
Yeah.
So she's quite impressive. She's very articulate. She's very intelligent, which at first I found a little bit intimidating. And then one thing I like to do is take a step back and think, is something poly problem, or is it a relationship problem, or just a general thing, basically?
Yeah.
And so I took it back to, if I met Amy in a situation where I wasn't wanting to date her husband, would I still find her articulate, impressive?
Mm.
And I would. If I met her in a work situation or a social, I would have had a similar reaction. So that's
a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Just sort of seeing the way they had considered and practiced and thought about non-monogamy that was quite similar to the way that I approached it.
Yes, you get to see then, if you're meeting the partner, whether the person you are non-monogamous with is telling the truth about the extent of the non-monogamy of their relationship.
That is also true. I did ask somebody on an app once. He said he had an open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And my first question was, is everybody in your relationship aware that it's open? And I got unmatched.
Oh.
Like, clearly not.
Yes, good question to ask. And so how do you cope with one of the things that I think I asked Amy and Scott this as well, but one of the things that I would struggle with is jealousy. But that's because I have a lot of cheating baggage, which I have yet to unpack.
Oh, yes.
But how do you – do you struggle with that ever?
So occasionally. But there's also a nuance between envy and jealousy.
Sure.
So for me, jealousy is, I deserve that. I should be the one having that, not you. It should be all mine.
Mm.
Envy is more, oh, that's something that I wish I had, or I wish I had experienced that as well.
Yes.
So envy comes up more than jealousy,
right?
I think. When jealousy does come up, it's usually because there's an unmet need somewhere, and it's either that I haven't properly expressed that need, or maybe that person doesn't actually have the capacity to meet that need, and then I have to decide whether I can live with that unmet need with that person, I guess. So your jealousy, because you know what you're going into, I think, as well. But I experienced jealousy in monogamous relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, again, that's a relationship issue more than a poly issue.
Yeah.
I think in the toxic polycule there was more of a jealousy. I think there was jealousy in both ways in that, and that's not healthy.
No, absolutely not.
So, yeah, I don't have particularly high social needs, so seeing somebody once a week satisfies that to some degree.
Yeah.
I don't need to be constantly at the front of somebody's mind or being the first thing that somebody considers when they're making decisions.
I guess you just don't want to be the last, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like. Yeah. There is that. There's certainly been times where I've had to express a need a number of times to try to get it met, and that can be tricky.
So what's something that you would like past you who didn't quite realise that this was an option to know, in case there are any listeners, readers out there who are wanting to...
Even
not feeling like they fit on the relationship escalator, but like,
right.
Yeah, what would you, what
even
advice?
Even if it's just reassurance.
Yeah.
It's okay,
yeah, reassurance
baby.
That being in a relationship that looks good to the outside world gives you validation. I remember, you know, being asked, you know, is there somebody special in your life as a, you know, and that's sort of...
Yeah.
So I had a lot of hang-ups around that, of not being worthy, I think.
I get asked that question a lot, and I'm like, there's many special people in my life. Not having sex with any of them, and
yes.
I love them dearly, but I have many amazing soulmates, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly, that's it. And that's also a really important value, your friends. Other advice to past me, don't accept less than what you're worth. I did a lot of that, particularly through my 20s.
Yeah, know your worth, know your value, know your wants. Yeah, figuring that, even knowing that is hard sometimes. Sometimes you don't. It's hard to know that. Hard to learn that thing.
Yes.
I would say I wouldn't want to, and I guess this kind of segues a bit into lessons learned.
Yeah,
but
why
don't
not?
Feel like you need to put a label on yourself. Straight away,
Like at all on anything,
or ever, you know, and it's okay to try something and realize it's not for you. It doesn't mean you failed at anything.
Yeah,
you know that if something isn't right, then maybe try something else to see if that's right. But that, you know, you don't need to feel like a failure if nothing's working out. But the fact that you tried it is amazing.
Yes, and the word fail is. Should be taken out of
relationships.
Don't fail.
I don't.
They
even,
might end for a reason.
Exactly. Like I have such a problem where people say my marriage failed. And I'm like, well, you got married and it was a successful time that you spent with that person. But things end.
Yeah.
Like just because
and
I finish eating a really good cake that I made does not make that cake a failure.
Yeah, right.
It was great while I ate it.
Yeah, and maybe it's more of a success that you've been able to leave a relationship
and stop
that's
eating
no
the
super.
Second cake.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's
really want cake.
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. We're stuck here in these chairs and these microphones for the next 2 hours, and all we're going to want is a big, lovely cake. Now I want a big, lovely cake.
What are your lessons, Tom?
You there, boy, fetch me some cake.
Our cake boy's off today,
please, and be smart about it.
We gave him a holiday this Saturday, the cake boy.
What a mistake that was. Something, Tilly, you mentioned, you just touched on this subject ever so briefly in your stories, but my lesson is what you want can change.
Yes.
And you forget that. So you can, at 18, you can want sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But 3 years later, you can, it's totally valid to be like, nope, I'm bored with booze. I've had all this, you know.
It's called growth.
Yeah.
People are allowed to change their mind.
And So that's okay if you've always had your mind set on one career your whole life, but then at 40, that doesn't interest you. It's okay. Your wants and needs can change, and they will. And they'll creep up on you often, I find. You'll just be all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm interested in town planning. Oh, my God.
Laugh, but I know someone who that exact situation happened to. They just woke up and they're like, I'm going to be a town planner.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Public transport is fascinating to me now. Yeah. So those things can just, you won't be a young rock star your whole life, buddy boy. Your wants and needs can change.
And that is totally valid and fine.
And it's totally fine.
If you're in a situation where you're really happy being a unicorn in a relationship, that's great. And if you wake up one morning and go, I don't want to do this anymore, that's great too.
I'm out. Yeah. Yep.
Just, you know, cut and run. No, don't cut and run. Explain to them what's happening and then cut and run.
Yeah, don't ghost.
Ghosting is evil, and I will never be okay with anyone who ghosts.
No, unless it's for safety.
Unless it's for safety. Absolutely. That is okay.
I don't know if there's any other lessons learned to go around before we wrap up a little show.
The only other one I would say is be brave.
Be brave.
Yes.
About it. State what you want and be brave about stating it and understand that not everybody's going to be able to meet that.
Yeah, and if they can't meet it, great. You've weeded out somebody else who's not right to be with you.
It's all data.
Win. Yep.
Yes.
All right. Sorry,
Tilly, thank you.
Sorry, you heard that, everybody.
Tilly, thank you so much for once again coming in.
That wasn't too rambly. You were sorry,
it was fascinating.
You were ultra brave coming in once the first time, but to do it again.
Tilly doesn't love microphones, and I just think for someone who doesn't love microphones, she's done so alarmingly well both episodes that she's been here. So thank you.
Thank you, Tilly.
Incredibly informative.
I did it by myself this time.
I know. We didn't have a support Scott in the background. Now, if you guys, if you want to write into one of our minisodes, let's say if you've got any stories, let's call out for any stories where you have been like unicorn hunted. I want to know about that.
Yes.
I want to know if you have been a third in somebody's relationship. I want to know how it happened. I want to know.
Tell me what it's like to be desired.
Yeah. Because Tom doesn't know. He needs to live vicariously
There are rare animals amongst you, rare beasts, exotic beasts. Let us know your stories.
Yeah, if you've got any stories about being a third in somebody's relationship or being in a successful thruple / polycule, please write in and let us know. If you want to be in one of our main episodes, you can write to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com, or if you want to make it super easy for us, go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast and fill in our form. It's
Those of you who have written in, emailed us, check your junk mails, your email, your junk boxes at home. Elizabeth has been writing back. So if you're wondering why you've been left on read, it's not us, it's you. Please check your junk
Someone
boxes.
In our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy group, which you should all join because it's good fun, the other day
on Facebook, everybody.
They were like, I keep writing in, and then they keep having repeat guests. I'm like, I've written to you. I've written to you. Check your junk mail, please.
So we're trying.
We're trying.
Otherwise, thank you for tuning in and listening. Rate, review, share the show to those of you, to those friends of yours who think might get a little bit of help out of our little show. Keep dating, because you'll keep dating. You'll keep, I don't know.
Your bad dates keep us in a jar.
Keep kerfuffles, and you'll send in the stories. The vicious cycle will continue.
And as always, keep communicating, folks.
Yes.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. available wherever fine podcasts are sold.